the Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 16th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. President-elect Joe Biden has said the roughly 400 miles of wall built along the border between the U.S. and Mexico likely won't be removed when he takes office, but neither will his administration build new areas of wall.
Brian Bird with Defenders of Wildlife says that will be a change for the better for animal migration at the border and for intercontinental wildlife known to move back and forth from the U.S. to Mexico in search of resources and habitat. He says the Trump administration hasn't built a lot of new border wall, but instead replaced previous vehicle barriers.
They were able to replace a lot of vehicle barriers with impenetrable pedestrian barriers, which are terrible for wildlife. So there has been enormous damage done to the border, especially in Arizona and New Mexico.
The Trump administration argued the wall border was needed to stop illegal immigration. I'm Roz Brown.
We should note while Trump promised Mexico would pay for the wall, it has not. Instead, U.S. taxpayers have paid $15 billion so far. BuzzFeed reports there were violent scenes in Washington, D.C. Saturday night amid clashes between Trump supporters falsely disputing the outcome of the presidential election and counter-protesters. Police said at least 20 people were arrested amid unrest after the so-called Million MAGA March, attended by tens of thousands of Trump supporters in response to the president's baseless claims that Joe Biden's victory in the election was rigged. The BBC quotes Trump as continuing to stroke that narrative in a tweet. "He won because the election was rigged," the Republican president wrote. About an hour later, Trump said he was not conceding the November 3rd electoral vote. And climate change is triggering the growth of dangerous mold in people's homes along the Carolina coast.
Places like Sellers, a small town in eastern South Carolina, have repeatedly been inundated with flooding, and its residents are reporting health problems such as coughing, wheezing, and headaches. Sellers sits in a naturally low-lying area, and many homes sit low to the ground with little elevation, making it easy for floodwaters to seep inside and set the stage for mold formation. University of South Carolina Environmental Health Sciences Professor Dwayne Porter says in the Carolinas, residents have little recourse when it comes to cleaning up mold or even pinpointing the problem.
Indoor residential mold is not regulated by the federal government, nor is it regulated by state government in South Carolina.
He says people in disadvantaged communities often don't have much choice but to stay in their homes. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. Nearly 80% of Colorado workers do not have access to paid family and medical leave, but that's expected to change starting in January of 2024.
After struggling for years to get state lawmakers to adopt legislation, proponents turned directly to voters who approved Proposition 118 by a 15-point margin. Ashley Pinelli with the group 9 to 5 Colorado says all eyes are now on Colorado, and she hopes the message sent by voters will help pave the way for paid leave in other states.
And again, that this passed on the ballot can really embolden other states to do something similar and put it on their ballots and feel confident that the voters are going to support something like this.
The Colorado Paid Family and Medical Leave Insurance Act provides eligible workers up to 12 weeks of paid leave per year to care for themselves or a family member with serious illness, to bond with a newborn or a child placed through adoption or foster care, and other qualifying absences. Critics warned the measure would put an undue burden on small businesses and would not generate enough money to pay claims. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is American Education Week, and even with the disruptions of a national health crisis, educators say there is plenty to celebrate.
School closures, remote learning, and fears of spreading the coronavirus have presented teachers, parents, and students with a unique set of challenges this year. To Joe Welch, an 8th grade American history teacher and Pennsylvania's Teacher of the Year, American Education Week is an opportunity to recognize that despite those difficulties, teachers across the Commonwealth are finding new ways to make education work.
We still have really great things happening in our schools. We're getting creative. We're thinking outside the box. We're really thinking about how we can still connect with students and still provide them with a great education.
He emphasizes that the pandemic should make tackling the unequal resources available to school districts in Pennsylvania a top priority. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Finally, our Mike Moen tells us it's been more than a decade now since accords were signed to protect the Great Lakes from being targeted by drier parts of the country in need of fresh water.
About a year ago, the Minnesota DNR blocked a plan by a company to drill 500 million gallons of water and move it by rail to the southwest. Even though that plan was thwarted, environmental groups say the threat still exists. Jeff Forrester with Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates says the Gopher State is rich with water, making it even more attractive to areas in desperate need of it.
There's a lot of focus on the Great Lakes. In Minnesota, we're the headwaters of three continental-sized watersheds.
Forrester says he would like to see laws strengthened so that developers and regional planners couldn't exploit exemptions.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations across the nation, and viewed on Free Speech TV.